Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello, if you're there, if you're listening, you are the resistance. There is an evil out there that wants to stop you from hearing God's word. It will twist the very fabric of creation itself and will turn all you know and love into a mechanical mantra of postmodernistic spew. So if you're still listening, again, you are the resistance. And this is Lutheran Radio UK, where we have for you yet another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. And this week we're looking at Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, where we're shown how to walk in the shoes of a Christian. That is, we don't just know how to stand, we know how to stand firm and endure. So from the English Standard Version, our text reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." In our epistle for today, Paul is outfitting the Christian from head to toe. He clads us with spiritual armor by the grace of God in order to yet again strengthen us to live out our faithful vocations. So to really emphasize Paul's point, I'm going to create a modern equivalent. You see, a soldier's shoes, or shall I say boots, are very important. A seasoned soldier knows that one needs to have the right kit to endure. Just as important as how sharp your sword is or how strong your shield is, one needs well-soled, durable boots to last the long march of war. If you can't walk, you can't stand. If you can't stand, you can't fight. And what if you need to run? You can forget about holding the line. Essentially, shoes, or lack thereof, can turn the tide of battle. Have you ever heard the story behind Scotland's choice of the thistle as its national flower? In order to take the sleeping Scots by surprise, an army of Norse invaders was ordered to remove their shoes so that they could approach in silence. What the commanders hadn't anticipated was that the field they had to cross, barefoot, was filled with thistles. Instead of attacking with the desired stealth, the Norsemen's cries of pain sounded the alarm that led to their own defeat. Scotland has honored the thistle ever since. Interesting to note as well is that one's stance in a fight can often differ depending on the type of shoe. Like an athlete, a soldier knows the importance of the proper stance for true preparedness. All forms of martial arts depend on a proper stance. When I learned karate, I was told the horse stance was very important. In other words, my legs were wide apart and my knees were bent. The one who has mastered this stance is all but immovable when assailed by his opponents, even if I did feel like I was riding an imaginary pony. So no, going to war is not really about having the romantic idea of being able to save one's lady by being a hero, or even fighting for freedom, but is rather about being able to be the master over very mundane details, like looking after your feet. And actually, it is the same with the Christian soldier. Paul would have had ample opportunity to contemplate the many intricate details of the Roman uniform, and he uses such exquisiteness to describe the armor given to the sons of God, even again in one's footwear. So how can the gospel, the great good news about Jesus Christ, serve as footwear for the Christian soldier? Remember that the command given to the Christian soldier is very simple. Stand. The command is not attack, and certainly not retreat. but simply stand. Like the great Martin Luther, who said, "Here I stand, I can do no other," this whole armor of God has been given to the Christian to enable one to stand his or her ground, and to withstand the assaults of the enemy. And such a command can only be fulfilled with the strength and grace given to us by God. Shoes are so important because they provide protection. What soldier can stand firm and steadfast with wounded feet? If we are to maintain our stance in the onslaught, we must be certain that our feet will not be vulnerable, or they will be our Achilles' heel. Just as the shield of faith can protect us from the fiery darts of the enemy, so does the gospel's promise of forgiveness by Jesus' death on the cross protect our stance from the shots and thrusts and stomps of the attacker. Neither will our own courage, strength, or righteousness guard our stance, but the promise of forgiveness and salvation in Christ Jesus. Paul's soldier also needs shoes that provide traction. Though it may be an odd chain of images, moving from gospel to peace to readiness to firm stance, it really does make sense, doesn't it? The peace we all enjoy and the good news of Christ's reconciling death banishes every worry from our minds, enables us to plant our feet firmly on the ground, and allows us to meet the attack without wavering or trembling or slipping. We are always at peace because we are together again with God. We are never worn out with worry. We are always ready. We can begin to see why the shoes of the soldier deserve such attention. Helmet, breastplate, sword, and shield, of course, have their place, and they do what they can to minimize any damage. But once the soldier has been knocked to the ground, many may well consider the battle already lost. Indeed, it is very important that we remain firmly on our feet. But the good news is that it is none other than the gospel of Jesus' cross and resurrection itself which allows us to stand. And so this is the Christian soldier's bold choice of shoes. Paul's soldier is shod with the gospel. When Paul applies all this to his own situation, his own upcoming face-off with the rulers of this dark world, it is only the gospel that he mentions again. He doesn't speak of wrapping the gospel around his feet. Rather, in more typical fashion, he prays that words be given to him to proclaim the mystery of this gospel boldly. And yet we still have the picture of the fully armored Christian warrior in mind. In that respect, Paul surprises us. Instead of saying, "Let them feel the edge of my sword," he seems to pray that he will have the chance to show off his shoes. In other words, Paul prays that he might reveal the mystery of those shoes. But this mystery is not some horrible puzzle to be solved by carefully gathering the evidence and then figuring out the solution. It's quite simple, and is given to us generously throughout God's revelation to us. The whole point of it is that it is not something we have to solve. There is no part of the gospel that we need to ever think we have added to it or helped it along. It is the gospel which stands on its own, and even gives us the power to stand. It is Paul's prayer, then, to make known to the world this good news about Jesus Christ, dead and raised. And it is the message itself which girds his feet. It is these shoes which enable Paul and all Christian soldiers to stand with boldness. And Paul's use of boldness here fits perfectly with his use of mystery. In other words, to speak boldly is to speak freely. It means to hold nothing back, to not worry about alienating or offending a hearer, but to speak the way you would to a close friend or loved one. Certainly, then, this takes courage, but it also gives courage. Paul's main concern is that he be able to present the gospel fully and naturally and in a winsome way. But though he is concerned, he knows that it is the promise of the Spirit of God to do just that. It is the will of the Spirit to gird every believer with confidence in the gospel, so that there will be no occasion for an "I hate to have to tell you this," or a "maybe I shouldn't say it, but," or a "don't take this in the wrong way." Rather, he is speaking great good news, and he wants nothing to hold back your joy as you share this message of salvation. For it is the same great news that allows him to give you such a solid stance, without wavering or stumbling, before even an emperor, if you'll remember Paul made his appeal to Caesar. And it is the same gospel, and all that it speaks to us of the mercy, grace, and compassion of our God that shoes our feet and secures our stance. In its peace, we are ready for the attack. And ready to proclaim. Our feet are protected, and our stance is made secure. We will endure. For the gospel of our salvation in Jesus Christ fills us with a peace that gets us on our feet. So not only does the shoe fit, we wear it proudly, by the grace of God, in order that we may proclaim just as boldly the same good news to others. No weapon, no strategy, no subterfuge, no insult can shake our stance when we remain shod in the gospel of Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God, in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, you are the resistance. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. This Sunday we have our usual program of Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. All are welcome to join us. As for next week in Faith That Functions, we're looking at the first reading, Isaiah 35, and how God has come to save his fallen creation. But for now, I pray God's peace be with you, now and always.